Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior, trends and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly, and now my new podcast about interior, zeitgeist, and friendship. Are you ready? Okay, so today I'm so excited to introduce you to my next guest. His name is Sebastian Herkner. He's quite a celebrity in Europe, and I'm sure anyone in America listening or in the UK also is familiar with his work because he's quite prominent in the world of design. He studied product design at the HFG, Offenbach University of Art and Design. He focused on designing objects and furniture that has a real special attention to detail, materials, colors, and textures. He did his internship at Stella McCartney in London, which I found really interesting, and we'll talk to him about that in a bit. And he founded Studio Sebastian Herkner in 2006. And since then, he's designed the Bell Table, which has become an iconic design classic. It was designed in 2012, I believe. And he's won multiple awards, one being in 2011. He won the German Design Award for Best Newcomer. And in 2019, the Maison and Objet, which is a famous fair here in Europe, in Paris, he was nominated he's the Designer of the Year by the Maison and Objet. So that's really exciting. His clients include Whitman and Ames, Tonneau and Tradition, Gooby, and so many more. And just goes on and on. I can't quit. So Sebastian's here with me today, and I'm very excited because I have so many questions prepared for you. First of all, hello.
Hello, Holly. I'm very happy and also excited. It's always a pleasure to see you. So we met, I think, the first time in January in Cologne Fair. And always writing a bit on Instagram. So yeah. I'm happy now to be here and to chat with you.
Yeah, and you feel really, it's so nice to see you because I know when we first met, I had a cold and you were launching products and I wasn't feeling good. You were super busy. So today it's nice because we can sit down and we can chat and I can really get to know you without rush. And I really just want to ask you a question that I ask everyone immediately when they sit here with me in my podcast is, what are you excited about at the moment? What excites you? It can be personal, career.
I think every day is exciting and it's a new challenge, a new adventure. And I think that's a great opportunity for all of us. And I'm very happy to have every single day. And I think this is something we all have to learn again, to be happy for small situations, moments, chats,
Yeah, live in the moment more.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And to be happy. And it's fantastic now to come here to Hamburg to chat with you. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
I think that's a privilege actually to travel. And, I'm traveling now quite a lot since 5 years. I'm running my studio since 12 years. Mm. And now last week I was in Tokyo, before in Cebu, and it's really a lot of inspiration I can get in touch with.
Yeah,
and this is amazing for me as a designer and to meet the people directly, to meet the cultures, to eat the local food, drink the local beer, listen to the music. So being a designer, it's really to be in touch with the moments with using all your senses. And I think this is also something very important. We all have to train again to use our senses,
yeah,
to smell,
true.
To see, to touch. Mm. And I think these are some topics we can chat about. And this is also about design at the moment. And it's also one of the trends that we have things about tactility, material, quality, crafts.
Yeah, and I imagine when you travel so much and you meet so many people and you experience so many different things, you really want to almost make sure you don't lose the moment and it just becomes a blur. So you have to stop yourself, don't you, sometime and just pause and just enjoy that soup or that cup of tea or that conversation.
And to breath,
Yeah, to breathe.
And to use your eyes. Because when I was young and I went to crazy concerts in big arenas, I was just looking through the camera.
Yeah.
And at the end, I had no idea about the artist singing.
Okay.
I could check the pictures, but you have to really feel it with your own senses to watch and to listen and not just focus on your phone, on your smartphone.
And I think that's a big topic for today.
This is something. Of course, it's a great tool, the smartphone. I can take pictures of inspirations, of colors, of details when I travel. But at the end, it's your own
immersion into it.
And then it's your intuition to bring it to something, to make a a new design, something unique.
Oh, I like how you're so in touch with the five senses and how you really think about that with design. And I've noticed that in your work, that you really have a, yeah, you're not just designing like something that looks pretty or something that's comfortable, but you're designing things for real life, for real living. And I want to talk to you a bit about why interiors? Why did you focus on the home or things for the home?
Yeah, well, I think it's the best way for myself to express myself. It was design. I'm not an artist. I'm not an architect. I really wanted to look into products, craftsmanship, how things are developed. And this started already when I was quite young, with repairing chairs or to paint it in a different way, the normal way. I grew up, like you also, without internet.
Yeah.
I was a lot in the forest in the afternoon after school.
Yeah.
So really, it was about fantasy. And this is also something maybe missing now with the young generation, that you are too much online, huh?
Yeah, too digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this offline world and all these possibilities at with my parents at that time really made me a creative person. I was interested really in doing things, using my knowledge, my hands to create something.
And your imagination.
So, exactly, which is very important. So that was the right way then to go to Offenbach, to university, to study design there for 7 years till 2007. Mm. And then it was always my dream to have my own studio. That's why directly after graduation, I opened my own studio, which was a one-man show, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
In the corner of my apartment, right. Student apartment. But then it was growing, of course. There was an intern, there was a second one, then there was an employee, then we moved to another place. So it was step by step over the last 12 years.
Yeah.
And now we are a very international team. I just employed a guy from Thailand, from Bangkok.
Great.
And then we have a French girl and a few Germans. And it's a good mix and it's a great atmosphere. And I think that's very important. And I like the diversity and the opportunity. I think this is also something which is so important in our life, to be open-minded, to be curious about different cultures, people, behaviors.
Other than our own world, what's happening outside.
And of course, it's globalization. And if I design something for Wittmann, you mentioned, it's a manufacturer from Austria, close to Vienna.
Yes.
And in the past, they produced products for Europe. But now, of course, they have the opportunity to sell also in Tokyo, in the States, very successful also. So there's a big market. And at the end, the behaviors of the people or the needs of the people are the same nowadays.
That's true. And I think, too, like one thing I read in your bio that I never realized before is that you did an internship at Stella McCartney in London, and talking about the diversity and what you just touched on, you know, you're German, but you lived in London, you worked with a British designer, you worked in the fashion world. How do you think, you know, when you worked there, what did you take from that experience that you brought home?
Mm. That's right. It's a long time actually ago. It was 2003-04.
Yeah.
I went there for 1 year internship and then working for her, and in Goulburn Road at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, it was for me a completely different world.
Yeah,
coming
growing
up in a village with 700 people, then moving to Offenbach to study with 150,000 people, and then moving to an international city like London.
Yeah.
But it was an amazing time, of course, to learn the language, to understand another culture, to look in another discipline, huh?
Right.
I like this interdisciplinary work. So, and product design and fashion design or architecture, they are all creative jobs. They have a creative approach.
Yeah, that's right. And she's very innovative with her designs and materials as well.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think when I was there, it was her second or third year with her own brand. And she was already from the beginning, because also of the parents, she was eco-friendly, then no fur,
vegan,
no leather, vegan, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Suitable for vegetarians, she said, no?
Yeah.
I think that was very brave that time.
Yes.
And this is something important nowadays for designer. You need to take a risk.
Mm.
Find your own design language, your own attitude.
Yeah.
And she did. And at the beginning, it was very difficult, I think, for her. But nowadays, she really sets a standard or a trend. Now also other brands like Gucci, they don't use fur anymore.
Right.
You know, they just quit with it. So she was really one, like a pioneer for fashion.
Yeah.
And I think that was really interesting to see for me and to understand, to find your own attitude. On the other hand, also to think in another way about materials, about colors, how to mix colors,
right?
Which is a different way, and you don't learn that much in industrial design or furniture design. So I think it was a very good experience for me, and also a fundament for my own career.
Yeah, and getting into that about traditional craftsmanship, I noticed in your work too, you seek to take the traditional and modernize it. And I noticed you do that in many different ways with your work. Maybe you can give me an example of a product you've designed where you needed to update or bring forward the design for today's audience. Is there a product you can think about or something you've made recently that would fit this?
Yeah, well, I did a chair together with Tonet, which is a German brand. They just celebrated 200 years.
Yes.
They were also very pioneering the last centuries because they invented the steam bending. Then they did it together with the Bauhaus, the tube bending, metal bending.
Yeah.
And then they asked me to do a chair for them, a simple chair, a dining chair for restaurants in solid wood and with the DNA, of course, for Tonet, but also showing my own design philosophy for the brand. And this is a combination of both. We have the craft, we have the steam-bended elements.
Mm-hmm.
Steam-bending is you have a wooden piece, you put it in a kind of wet oven.
Right.
Then it becomes like al dente, like the pasta. Then it can bend it.
Yeah, flexible.
And then it dries and it stays like this.
Okay.
So you can bend wood in different shapes. So we have the seating frame bended in wood. But afterwards, it's CNC milled. So it's really the combination of both discipline or possibilities.
Okay.
And craft has a certain beauty and aesthetics, but also with the CNC, you can achieve a more precise production way.
Okay.
And for a reasonable price also. So the pricing, of course, was also very important for us to get really affordable chair that you can really use it for restaurants.
Yeah, and that's always the consideration nowadays.
That's a challenge
price,
also
right?
Sometimes,
it's a challenge,
you know? I think it's nice also for me as a designer to be part of it. It's not just about doing a crazy, nice, whatever design.
Mm.
I want to have also design which is running well.
Right.
You know, that people can afford.
Right.
Because for me as a designer, I also have a responsibility for the company that have successful products. It's beautiful, but also successful in kind of sales.
Yeah, that's right. And then to talk about a success in sales, of course, is we have to talk about the bell table for Classicon. That is, I think, your most famous piece to date, right? I mean, it's really like a lot of people know it, and that's...
That's right.
Yeah. And when you designed it, did you have any idea that this would be the big piece for you?
No, not at all. Actually, the design is 10 years old now.
Yeah.
I designed it in January 2009.
Wow.
And then I presented it in Salone Satellite. It's a platform for young designers in Milan, the biggest furniture show. And I presented it in April 2009.
Yeah, and you were
made in glass and in brass. Of course, made in brass, beautiful. But at that time, There were some journalists, they liked it, they published it a lot, but it was impossible for me to find a producer.
Okay.
Because they all said, no, glass is old-fashioned brass, it's not interesting.
Okay.
We want futuristic new materials, we want new technologies. So I did some by my own, sold some to Christian Boris, art collector from Berlin.
Yeah.
But finally, 2012, so 3 years later, there was Classicon from Munich, and they said, okay, we want to produce it and we want to sell it and put it in our catalogs. And since that, it's very, very successful, still growing.
Oh, still,
the numbers worldwide. It's really a fantastic product. But of course, at the beginning, I had no clue about how successful it is.
Yeah.
And as a young designer after graduation, I spent a lot of money in the molds and toolings and just to produce it. It was a risk, but you have to take risks. You mentioned already.
Yeah, and you believed in it. You believed in
exactly,
the product.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And now it's a very good product. And for me, it's also so nice that the first prototypes of the tables, two glass elements, were done by a glass company called von Poschinger in Bavaria.
Mm-hmm.
And they just celebrated 450 years last year.
Wow.
And it's the oldest glass company in the world. It's still in the same family. It's 15th generation. And when I met them 10 years ago, they had not a lot to do like mass production or serial production. They did a vase or some element for a chandelier or lamp, which was broken. Things like this for people, private people. And now since 2012, they produce it nonstop for Classicon. They just employed new people.
Great.
There's also actually a guy they just told me from Somalia. He learned glass blowing in Germany. Now he's working there in the Bavaria, which is also interesting, this intercultural
it's nice
aspect.
To see that.
Yes.
Like an old
and it's
company.
Fantastic, no? In Bavaria now there's this a guy from Somalia blowing glass and other young people, and they really share the passion for glass together. And it's really running well. And I think this is also huge, like kind of social sustainability.
Right.
Because we are losing a lot of crafts, we are losing a lot of workshops because people don't want to afford for design or crafts, or they don't want to learn it,
right,
which is also a problem.
So you need to collaborate. You need to find someone else that you can work with.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, that's the new way.
And, you know, I'm based in Offenbach, where I studied. So I live there now almost 20 years. And it was the German city of leather goods, leather production.
You told me that last year.
There was Montblanc-based, for example,
and
producing, but they are not producing there anymore. And many others also, or they completely closed. So the city somehow lost its identity.
Right.
Because every family had someone working in the leather business as a, making bags or buckles or belts or just packaging or coloring, whatever. And this aspect of leather goods, it connected all the families in the city, is completely lost. So the city somehow lost its identity or the joining element of all the people.
Yeah.
And this is quite sad, because if you think about areas or cities, they are always connected to a material, to something, to music.
Some industry.
You know, if you think about Venice, it's the glass also.
Yes.
If you think about Stuttgart, it's about the cars.
Yeah.
And here in Hamburg, it's the harbor and the new opera building.
Yes.
So there's always something iconic. And I think that's our opportunity and our responsibility also as journalists, as creative people, to support this typical.
Yeah, that's right.
Know?
Yeah.
If you're traveling to cities around the world, they look more and more the same. You have to find the typical stores or the typical crafts or the identity of a city, which makes it special. Otherwise, it will be everywhere the same.
Yeah, you need to be a bit of a detective and
exactly.
really look for those pearls, those gems, and the stories behind all of it as well, because those stories can be so meaningful and have so much value. And one thing I want to ask you is, in the press, speaking of stories and you in general, the press has always described you consistently as curious, balanced, sensitive, authentic, and intuitive. So I thought
Thank
we'd
you.
Play a little game. Well, that's you. That is you. And it's also what I've read in hundreds of, you're all over the place. You're online, you're in newspapers, you're in magazines. So I thought we'd play a little game, and I'm going to switch this around. So I'm going to ask you, okay, people see you as curious, balanced, sensitive, etc. How do you see yourself as curious? Let's take curiosity first. How would you say you're curious?
I think that's the most important thing to be a designer, to be a human, actually. Mm. I think we all have to be curious, open-minded, look for new things.
Yeah.
So every day is a unique day, and this makes it so exciting.
Yeah, and when you apply this to design, how do you think your curiosity is directly applied to your design work?
Yeah, well, for me, it's always fantastic to visit workshops. If it's in Colombia with Hermes, if it's for a project in Taiwan or in Zimbabwe, once in Africa, or all the beautiful work, amazing workshops in Europe.
So you travel to all these places?
Yeah.
Okay.
My design is often driven really by those crafts or by the people behind the scenes. Of course, you meet that manager, you meet the art director, but most important are the people behind the scenes.
Yeah, who's doing the weaving,
who's really doing
the
it.
Making.
I have a sketch, I have a vision, I have an idea, but I need the sparring partner on the other side who really believes in my idea and he really wants to push it and get it.
Right.
So now they have to change the process completely. And at the beginning, maybe they think, okay, we have never done it. We did it like 50 years just like this. But then if it works, they're really happy and proud. So design is a collaboration. It's a communication.
Yeah.
And for me, it's really a cabinet of curiosities if I just go to a workshop.
Yeah. So your curiosity is helping you then to make better products, because you're working with people who have stories, who have traditions that they're applying to their work. And that's also making your work a bit deeper and meaningful.
Definitely.
For you, but also for the end user.
Yeah.
So how do you, when it comes to balance, how do you, this is the next word, and for balance, how do you achieve this in your work and in your life? How do you think?
I think in life, for me, I'm living with my husband in Offenbach, so it's not really a big design destination. It's a small town next to Frankfurt, but I feel comfortable. I have my friends there.
Yeah.
And this is something I always tell young students at universities, because they always feel the pressure. They have to go to London, to Paris, to Milan, or to New York. And I say, no, you can be successful also in Budapest,
Or
in Sofia, or in Hanover, or in Offenbach, you know?
Yeah.
You need to feel comfortable. You have internet, you can Skype, you can call, you need an airport. But most important is that you feel safe in your area. You can pay the rent for your studio or apartment, everything like this. Then you can be creative. If you have too much stress, you can't be focused.
Yeah, I read about this entrepreneur in the United States who had a really successful brand and marketing company. And then he moved to New York City because he thought that was the hot spot and the place to be. But he didn't run the calculations. And he realized he had now acquired like four times the bills and overhead. And his business fell flat. And he actually had to move back to the country to be successful. So I think you're right. Like you sometimes these little places where no one knows are like your creative hubs, right? Where it's quiet. Yeah, you can really
if you think about my team, there's a guy from Bangkok and a girl from Paris.
Okay.
But they feel comfortable.
Nice.
They have a good life.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Of course, I have always the time to go to big places, to get inspiration, to visit nice museums.
Yeah.
But I'm also happy to be at home. So it's the balance. But the balance also in my work, like balance between crafts and technology, between textile and other materials, about tactility. I think it's in general, it's about the balance, digital and analog.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And when it comes to sensitivity, because I can see that you're a sensitive person, you bring emotion and feeling to your design. How do you think you're a sensitive person? Do you see this in your work? Do you see that your sensitivity
is a plus? I think it's really the right selection and of materials is very important.
Yeah.
We use far too much time for our smartphone, like me, maybe sometimes four or five hours a day.
Yeah, right.
And it's just a piece of glass and a little bit metal, whatever.
Yeah, right.
But it's so nice to have reality around you at home, to grab a nice velvet on the sofa, to have some nice terracotta bowls, to have a nice chopping board with wood, to have a nice knife, whatever, or bed linen and things like this. I think it's really about the tactility. It's about the material nowadays. On one hand, we lose a lot of material in our business life.
Right.
But at home, we want to have the reality. We are humans. Yeah. We are not cyborgs. Right, sometimes behave like, but we are humans. And I think that's something very important. We should behave also like humans.
Yeah, and the home can really bring us back to ourselves.
Yeah. And I just came with the train here to Hamburg from Frankfurt, and everyone is looking on his smartphone,
the whole time.
Working.
Yeah,
the people are not chatting anymore.
No.
So that's why they don't get in contact with each other anymore.
Right.
That's why you have like 40% singles in Tokyo of the young generation, because they're not communicate anymore.
Yeah, I read that statistic. I was so shocked by that.
Yeah, like
people just don't know how to date anymore in Japan because they're so digitized, if that's the right way to say it, that they're socially awkward almost.
Yeah.
You become socially awkward. Yeah. You don't know how to talk anymore. So let's talk about authenticity because that ties into what we were just saying. What about authenticity? When you're asked to design something, how do you go about bringing authenticity to a product? Would that be through the people that were making it?
I think it belongs also to honesty. You have to be honest if you design something because you have the responsibility. So at the beginning, I'm meeting the company, the owner. I look behind the scenes.
Right.
And I want to understand if I can work with the person or with the company or not.
Okay, so it's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's like a personal, communication at the beginning, then it becomes a relationship. If you design, it's something very emotional. And then you can be authentic, huh?
You're right.
And for me, it's important that the product is real, it's authentic. Mm. Regarding the bell table we talked about, there was never the idea for me to make the base in plastic, translucent plastic. For me, it was clear it has to be glass.
Or nothing.
And the top is brass.
Yeah.
And not something metal, just sprayed gold. It has to be honest, authentic.
Mm.
You have to do your decisions. You need your real attitude. You have to be strong. You have to believe in yourself, of course. Otherwise, you lose face. Because at the end, I have to promote the product. My face is connected with the product.
Yeah, you're right.
And
you compromise.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't at any part of the
process. Not in this part.
No. I mean, there's some parts of design where you have to compromise,
of course,
right?
Then it's some detailing maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
But at the end, you have to feel confident with the product 100%.
Yeah, hold on to your vision. And
exactly.
Yeah, your values, especially values.
Yeah.
So intuition, this is, I think, a big one. For me especially, I think it's really the heart of what makes a project successful, a designer successful. It's intuition. It's a gut feeling. And a lot of us, like you said so well earlier, that we're swiping and we're so tied into technology that we sometimes lose our intuition. We have to ask our friends, is she the right girl for me? Is this the right thing for our home?
Or ask an app, huh?
Yeah, or you ask an app. You swipe for the next date. And this is something that I think is part of the generation now, especially, is people aren't connected to their core, their intuition anymore. And I think with design and being successful in any career, any discipline, you have to have you have to be in touch with that gut feeling. So I know you are. So maybe you can tell the listeners, how does your intuition guide your work?
Yeah, I always say, of course, you collect a lot of inspiration on your phone, on your brain, in your sketchbook.
Right.
But then it's your instinct and your intuition.
Yeah.
To bring something alive, to start with a story, with a concept.
Right, yeah.
And of course, there is no guideline how I work on it. Every day is different. I need my muse, I need my time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can sketch a lot, sometimes I don't have the strong idea.
Yeah.
So that's also about honesty to yourself. And sometimes you need to place the sketch in the cupboard and then you look
sleep
at it
on
again.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, after 1 month or whatever, or you stop approaching, look at it again.
Uh-huh.
Because it's, yeah, you want something unique, you want something strong. But at the end, you have to feel your intuition, your feelings, your emotions.
Yeah.
And then you have to explain it, of course, to your client. And then
right.
you have to discuss it. And most important is that your client he understands you and has also a vision for a new product.
Okay.
Because there are also companies, they have a lot of bestsellers, classic products, they sell automatically.
Yeah. Right.
Because
right.
people
they
want to have
works.
Those icons.
Yeah, right, right.
But I really like companies who really think, okay, let's do a new icon, let's try to do a new design, really, not just for PR reasons or marketing, really for business.
Right.
And I think this is important. So I need those clients like Wittmann, like Classicon, like others, really to do something new.
Yeah, I think the future really belongs to the risk takers. I'm seeing this more and more. I think that's the way to really differentiate yourself from the pack is to be the one who's willing to risk and to fail a few times and to fall, but to always keep getting back up. I think that's really important. So that is a nice, I guess, an introduction to what I really want to ask you now is about challenges, because so many people listening are like, yeah, blah, 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 you know, successful, doing great, wonderful business. But you of course, have had your challenges. Is there a particular challenge that you'd like to talk to us about now that maybe someone listening could think about and maybe feel better about their own life as a designer or as a creative? For instance, have you had a challenge with your profession in some way or a personal challenge? What have you dealt with that maybe...
I think the whole work, the whole life is a challenge, and you have to do decisions. You have to feel or follow your emotions, your heart, your instinct. And of course, sometimes you collaborate with a company. It started maybe very well, but then at the end, it was not a nice collaboration.
Yeah, right.
Or it didn't run.
That happens.
But it's a roller coaster.
It
happens. But then you find another company, it works very well, and you have successfully do a second and a third product.
Yeah.
So not everything is going that well, like people can see on my website and media. Of course, there are also products, they never came alive.
Right.
They never have been on the stage, on the fair, whatever.
Right.
Because then it was too expensive, or the management changed. This is sometimes a pity because we just have a few family companies left.
Yeah, that's
most
true.
Most of them are with investors and big companies behind. They just want to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always change the people.
Yeah.
So I really like to work with family businesses or people very close together to have a close relationship. Like I have with the company Hermes we produce in Colombia.
Yeah.
And they did a big risk because they started completely a new adventure to produce products in Colombia. The owner, Anna Maria, she's born in Colombia, married with a German guy, Karl Heinz, living in Germany. And she wanted to bring the beauty, the color, the crafts, the senses from Colombia to the world. So she invited me 3-4 years the first time to go to Colombia to travel around with a bus and to visit villages who are connected to a certain craft. And now it's running very well. We show on 4 fairs in Europe. We have different department stores, concept stores selling our products. And we really bring something back to the people there because the young generation was not really proud about their crafts.
Right,
but now they really appreciate what they learned at home with their grandparents and parents.
Yeah. So you've brought something traditional into the modern world, just as we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a mix
important.
Of the tradition of Colombia, the craftsmanship, but also with my design language.
Yeah, right. And I wanted to ask you before we wrap up, because I think it's an interesting question to always ask someone at your level, because you always think, what's next? What would be your dream design project? You know, like the ultimate dream. Sebastian Heckner Hotels.
Well, that would be amazing.
Right?
Also, we are just working on a restaurant actually
there.
In south of Germany,
which
is challenging and something new to do a space for people. Not,
not
just a product,
spaces.
But really to do a space. But it's quite difficult. We did also private apartments, which is really a challenge. It's something a private apartment like to do a portrait of someone. It has to be really personal and it shouldn't be an alien for them. You really have to understand the person to do the right thing.
Right.
And never finish it perfectly, because at the end, the person has to do it.
They need
buy
to finish
something
it. Yeah, they
on vacation
to, yeah.
or here and there to get it really personal and nice for them, because they have to live there.
But what about you, Mr. Hackner? What's your dream design project? Because, you know, they always say, I think Eckhart Tolle is the one who says that you have to put something out into the world, and then it can be received, and it can maybe come back to you. If you don't say what your dream is, then it sometimes can never be fulfilled. So let's put it out there. What would be like the ultimate project for you?
Of course, a hotel would be amazing.
A hotel,
I'll stay
there.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, I think you could do that, absolutely, because you have all the right people that you're working with and the great design DNA that you have. You could really make that something cool. Okay, world, so if you're interested in designing hotels with Sebastian, then here he is. So, you know, I think we'll wrap up, and I have to ask you a final question, because it's important that I think listeners understand you a little bit more personally. When you're at home at night, you're with your husband, you unlock the door, you open the door, you sit down, what makes your house a home? What for you is really the essence of your home or who you are at home? What makes your house a home?
I think it's not really about products. Of course, there are products I did and for friends and souvenirs from vacations.
Yeah,
I think it's a time with friends, and especially also with my husband.
Yeah, so it's a personal...
It's to have really to have time to breath, to... sometimes be out of the design world, you know, to have the sometimes also the reality to have friends around. I think that's amazing. These are really great moments to charge batteries.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
you. It's been a real honor to have you here today.
It's a pleasure for me.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again, and have a nice day.